Chanukah is a very, very multi-themed yontif. Talk a lot about Chanukah being the yontif of Torah Shvah Peh, which is true on several levels. But in the simplest sense, it is the one yontif that we have that appears entirely in the Torah Shvah Peh. It's the one yontif that's La'achar Chasimas HaTanach. That's why, as we mentioned last week, the Rambam does not open Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah with the story of Pesach. He does not open Halachas of Lulav and Sukkah with the story of Klal Yisrael and Midbar. He doesn't open Hilchos Megillah with the story of Mordechai and Esther, because those stories appear in the Tanakh. But Hilchos Chanukah, Paragimel, the first couple of Halachas, tell the story of Chanukah, because it is, even historically, it's a yontif of the Torah Shvah Peh, but it's more than just historical. You tell a Maisa, Chiyash HaMaisa, that has deep roots in our base medrash, because this Maisa is told about I believe he was a direct ancestor of one of our Rosh Yeshiva we have the schus to spend morning Seder with every day, Reb David of Tolna. Reb Meir Tversky is from the line of the Tolna Rebbes, our Reb Meir Tversky Shlita. Reb David of Tolna, you got to double check with him. I believe he was his great-great-grandfather. That's a double check. He lived neither in Boston nor in Riverdale, but in Tolna. The original, when Tolna was still in Tolna. The Sefer Chassidim, which is not a Chassidish Sefer, Sefer Chassidim is from the Chachmei Ashkenaz, from Ashkenazi Rishonim, of Yehuda HaChassid, has this idea that Chassidim, in the Baal Shem Tov sense, certain Rebbes picked up on. Sefer Chassidim has an idea, may have touched on earlier in the year, that every Jew is supposed to be a generalist and a specialist. Every Jew is mechuyev to keep all the mitzvahs that apply. You don't have a bechor if you're not Yisrael or Levi. You don't have a bechor, you're not going to pay. Now then, if you're not an employer, you're not going to pay your workers on time. But the Sefer Chassidim says, obviously, every Jew is mechuyev to keep all the mitzvahs that apply. But in addition to being a generalist, every Jew is also supposed to be a specialist. Every Jew should have his masechta, that's his go-to masechta, you feel a particular kirba to. And then Sefer Chassidim talks about every Jew having a particular mitzvah that you have a particular affinity for. It resonates with you. In particular, they say Ramat of Zichlin had a special connection to tzitzis. I don't know if I ever told you the Meister Ramat and the tzitzis. Maybe tonight, maybe some other time. Rav David of Tolna had a special affinity for the mitzvah Rabbanan of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. In Tolna, Neres Chanukah was a big deal. Chassidim came. You know, the idea of a tish in Yiddish means a table. So the idea of Chassidus Shatish on Friday night is that you're coming to join the Rebbe at his Shabbos table. The Rebbe comes, if you ever go to an actual Chassidus Shatish, the Rebbe comes in, and he sings Miris, and he makes Kiddush and Challah. He has his Shabbos Suda later than the Chassidim. So after Chassidim have a Shabbos Suda with their own families, they come to the Rebbe's Tish, the Rebbe's table, and they get to watch and participate a little bit in the Rebbe's Shabbos table. So in Tolna, they would come to the Rebbe's Hadlakas HaMenorah. They lit at home, Istama first, and they came to the Rebbe's home. And he had a very special menorah, and a golden menorah apparently, and Chassidim would come, and every night of Chanukah, and they would come and watch the Rebbe Tzinda on the Neris. There are different Chassidish Tefillahs, different Chassidish Tchinas, that some say in advance of Hadlakas HaMenorah. There's a more famous one from Bnei Yisachar. There's a less famous one from the Mishpat Tzedek. Maybe we'll talk about it tonight. There's a very beautiful niggun, Yuzari, is drawn from that field because the Gemara says, it's based on a Gemara, Korba Shulchan Aruch. Haragul Bener, some of you already got there in the Bekiyas, Haragul Bener Harvilam Banam Tamei Chachamim, that Rishonim understand both Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah is a skula for raising a family of Tamei Chachamim. That's why women typically daven for the spiritual atzlacha of their children in conjunction with Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. And so some of the practice to daven these tchinas, the Mishpat Tzedek in particular, to daven for the spiritual success of one's children, tzaddikim, talmidei chachamim, ahuvim l'mala, nechmadim l'mata, to grow up to be people of great measure. So that's at the time of Ner Shabbos and Neres Chanukah. So the Chassidim would come and watch the Rebbe tzinda on the Neres, Rosh Rebbe light the Neres, and they'd be singing and a dehybin excitement, an elevated excitement. But one time, the Rebbe walks in, one year, the Rebbe walks in the first night of Hanukkah. Okay, everything's ready. The wicks are ready, the oil is ready, everything's ready to go. Maybe there may have been some preparatory nigunim. And then, right before he's ready to make the three brachas in light, he turns around to one of the chassidim who was sitting next to him. Some versions have it that he asked for a particular chassid to come up. The way Rav Zevin tells it, that chassid was ready right next to him. But this fellow was a tall Jew. So he says to him, question for you. And everyone's like, well, what's going on? He's about to light mirrors. Something happened. The oil spill is missing a wick. He says, question for you. Sure, Rabbi, what is it? So he says, your wife is very short. So when you speak to your wife, how does that work? If you need to whisper something to her, does she get her tippy toes to reach, or do you lean over so you could your head is next to her ear? The chassid is sort of like, no, I wasn't trying to respond exactly. I wasn't expecting that. And the Rebbe didn't wait for a response. The Rebbe asked the question, dropped the mic, turns around, and three brachas, and he sins on the nears. So the whole place was befuddled. What just happened? What was that question? And he wasn't asking for an answer. No one's really sure what was going on. And then they asked the chassid himself, and he's like, I'm as into the dark as any of you are. I have no idea. I don't know what that means. So the Rebbe is, at that point, the Rebbe had a great nephew, Mordechai Ber of Hornestipel, who was also there. He was staying, at that point, he was staying with his great uncle, the Rebbe David of Tolna. And he said to the Chassidim, I'll explain to you what just happened. He said, the Gemara says in Masechet Sukkah that in the context of discussing Shiurim and Mechitzas, that may all the Gemara is a principle that may all the yard the Shechina mata may asar tvachim. The Shechina never comes down below 10 tvachim, within 10 tvachim of the ground. And that's why the Gemara derives it from the fact that if you work at the height of the Aron, and then you had the Kaporis lid on top of the Aron, and then you had the Kruvim on top, see, and that's where Rashi tells you at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra that there's Hashras Hashechina on the on top of the Kaporis, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, as the Pesukim say. We're going to lay in Mitzrayim tomorrow, Zos Chanukah. The call was Yotze Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. So the Gemara Cheshbins, that was above 10 Tvachim. And as you know, Mitzad Hadin, in terms of Shabbos and perhaps Sukkah as well, the height of the first Rishus is 10 Tvachim. That's when you build a Mechitza to create a Rishus HaYachid, the Mechitza has to be at least 10 Tvachim tall, because you need to surround the space. The first 10 Tvachim, the first 3 feet or so off the ground, that's Rishus Bifnei. So that's the space that's most connected, even on Pi Halacha, to the ground. So in order to create Rishus HaYachid, in order to create a Makom Mukaf, in a closed space, you need to have a Mechitza that encloses the first 10 Tvachim. So the Gemara says, Shechina always stays above 10 Tvachim. Shechina always stays above 10 Tvachim. So then Rav Chaber said, the one exception is Hanukkah. Because as we saw already in the Hanukkah sugyas, the din is that the placement of the Ner Hanukkah is supposed to be ideally lamata mi'ar saratvachim. Particularly if you're lighting a menorah in the ideal location, al pesach beisun b'chutz, mitzat small, so we went to al pesach beisun, you saw the Gemara says, within a tefach of the door space, width-wise, horizontally, and vertically, it should be within 10 tefachim of the ground. So he said, Sir Martin Chaber said, that's what my uncle was talking about. He says that on Hanukkah, there is one time the Shechina comes down, Lamata Me'asar. He referenced a comment of the Arizal, based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Dafman Tes. The Gemara has an Agarata. The Gemara says, if your wife is short, your wife is short, so you should bend over and whisper in her ear. So that's what my uncle was talking about, my great uncle was talking about. So the way the story ends is that the next night, the Talmud Rebbe walked in again and said something else to a different chassid that no one understood. And then he turns to his great nephew and says, tonight you're not going to be as successful as you were last night. And Taka, apparently, no one, including the great nephew, understood what the Rebbe said that night. So what does this mean? So I think Al Pi Pshuto means the following. It captures the content, what the Rebbe is saying, I think captures key ideas about the machshava, about the hashkafa of Hanukkah. And I would say a pair of ideas. One, as we've seen many times in different comments of the Ramban on the Torah, he'll often, without making a big deal of it, but present a pair of ideas. One is Hanhagas HaBorei, and one is Hanhagas HaAdam. Often he's trying to figure out what's the message of this parasha. One lesson is about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates, and the other lesson is about how we're supposed to operate. A duality that Ramchal talks about in various Svarim, focusing on Hanhagas HaBorei and focusing on Hanhagas HaAdam. The Seel Shisharim is a practical guidebook for Hanhagas HaAdam, how we're supposed to go. And the Derech Hashem is about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a study of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hanhagas HaBorei, Master Bracious. So we've seen that all that duality off in the Ramban. I think that's a play here also. What this is capturing, the fact that on the simplest level, the fact that the Neiros are supposed to be Wamata Me'ar Sar Tvachim, ideally, Al Pidin, that's probably to make it clear, as we've seen several Gemaras in the Hanukkah sugis, it's important to make it clear, especially Chav Beis and Beis, Bahadlaka Osamitzvah, Nacha Osamitzvah, it's important in order to have a full Pursume Nisa, in order to, the toaster race says Nav Chafav, you want it to be Nikar. It has to be clear that you're lighting Neiros Hanukkah. If it looks like this is just, you know, lighting, again, for us, candles are always ceremonial because we don't use candles for light. We use electric lights for light. But once upon a time, the candles were light. So we were learning the Gemara Chav Beis and Beis yesterday. I mentioned Lahavdil. The Gemara there says, the Gemara talks about if a Jew lights his Nair inside and walks outside, that's no good. So Gemara wants to know why. One suggestion Gemara has is because it looks like you lit it for your own purposes. Lahavdil, for those who remember their Shakespeare, remember their Macbeth, and walking around with a taper. Once upon a time, people walked around with an air. You didn't have a flash. You didn't have a phone or some other flashlight, or as the British say, a torch. You had an actual candle or some sort of lit lamp that was light. So the Gemara says you have to make sure that it's going to be clear that the Ner Chanukah is not there for actual lighting, but instead it's there as a string around the finger. It's there to remind you of what? Of the Nes of Chanukah. So that's Al Pi Din, Al Pi Pshuto. The reason why you light the Ner Chanukah L'mata Me'asara is because no one puts lighting L'mata Me'asara. Right? Lighting is almost always, unless it's for effect, uplighting. Right? Lighting is always above. Either you have like here on the ceiling, or you have sconces that are above people. The light usually comes down. Right? If you think of architecture, you always have the light coming from on top. So Al Pi Din, Al Pi Pshuto, the reason why you want to have the light, the Ner Chanukah over here, is that way you see right away that's not regular lighting, that must be to tell me something, presuming you something. What Rav David of Talna was saying is that it also captures another idea. It also captures something. It's conveying something else about the Nes of Chanukah. What is that? Mitzad HaBorei, Mitzad HaAdam. So Mitzad HaBorei, the Nes of Chanukah, the Nisim of Chanukah and Purim, unlike the Yamim Tovim Doraisa, the Nisim of Chanukah and Purim all capture HaKadosh Baruch Hu working within nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu working within Teva. It's true the Nes Hashem, as we discussed the other day, was a Nes Nigla, but certainly the primary Nes of Chanukah, the Nes HaMachama, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu working behind the scenes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it, as he had done earlier in the days of the Shoftim, and as he did much more recently in 48 and 67, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked within the parameters of nature to pull off Nisim Nistarim that allowed us to be saved and allow us to win against all odds. But the focus on Chanukah is not the Nisim Guluyim of a Kriyas Yamsuf or Makas Bechoros or Mama Har Sinai or Anani HaKavod. The focus is not noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's razzle-dazzle, acting in obvious exceptional ways. It's noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's involved in our lives in subtle ways. Lamata me'asara. That's what's being said. And that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, came down. Kadosh Baruch Hu leaned over to his short wife, so to speak. Kadosh Baruch Hu, instead of pulling off Nisim Gluy and making it obvious as here, he, so to speak, lowered himself to our level. And that's what the Neres Chanukah are supposed to, that's what Chanukah is supposed to remind us of. Ramban writes, we'll see this some later in the year, we get to Parshas Bo. Ramban writes that the most impressive Nes, the most important, not most, the most impressive Nes is a Nes Nigla. But Ramban writes at the end of Bo, the goal is not just to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the great razzle-dazzle rare moments where he does Nes and Niglam. It says, Ramban says, that's step one. Step two, the higher Madriga is when you, after knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisim Niglim, you then pivot to knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the everyday. Knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisim Nistarim. To know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in my life occasionally is a lower Madriga. It's a much higher, more advanced, sophisticated Madriga of Avodas Hashem. When I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there in the ins and outs of everyday living. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only do the Nisim Niglim, but the Nisim Nistarim. Knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with us even when our lives seem very natural. So I think that's one layer of what's being said here. Dafka on Chanukah. Dafka on Chanukah where the Shekhinah, so to speak, Yoid Lamata Me'asara, comes down onto this world. As we said before, even on Pidin, the first 10 Tfachim are the Rishuts that relates to the ground. And then it could also be that in terms of Hanhagas HaAdam, as Rabbi Rezel Chetir from Rabbi Konigsberg yesterday, another theme of Chanukah on the human, on the Hanhagas HaBorei side, one of the major themes of Chanukah is noticing and recognizing, reminding ourselves, reinforcing our awareness of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives even in the daily in obvious ways. But on the Hanhagas HaAdam side, it's to recognize that when we live in more natural times, as we have since the end of Nevuah, and certainly since we went to Galus Adam, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us even more to be taking the first step, like we saw at the end of the second parak of Mesilas Yesharim. V'sham derech harein b'yesh elokim. You take the first step. You begin to live b'zehiras. You take the first step, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll zoch ro b'shos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the assist. But the siyata d'shmaya comes once you're Barley Tar, says Rabbi Kozberg mentioned yesterday, that's the Vayifka Bamakom Bayakovinu. He had to first show interest in seeking out Harabais, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him there, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Nevuah of the Sula, but it had to begin with his showing interest and his seeking to get there, and that was the Nes of Chanukah. There's a story of Chanukah, we talk a lot about the Nisim, but remember, the beginning of the story of Chanukah was not Nisim. The beginning of the story of Chanukah was things were going from bad to worse. And there were a group of Jews who went to Moser Nefesh to do the right thing. Willing to stick their necks out, literally, and put their lives on the line to stand up for Emes, to stand up for Ribbono Shel Olam, to stand up for his Torah, to stand up for the way Jews are supposed to live, and the way Jews are supposed to believe, the way Jews are supposed to align our Ratzon with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chanukah much more, that's where Rabbi Kongsberg was highlighting at the end, at the end of his Shir yesterday, the Chanukah, much more than any other Yom Tov, is a Yom Tov of what in the literature of Kabbalah and Chassidus they refer to as Arusa Dilatata, awakening from below. It didn't start with that kind of Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got things started. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us on a silver platter. Even Shavuos, it was a little bit more of, we said Nasa V'Nishma, but still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity, brings us to our Sinai, he tells us, 3 days of Achana, I'm ready to go. And he says, no, you want it? We said, Nasa V'Nishma. So we were somewhat more proactive in crafting our spiritual destiny. But still, it was basically being handed to us on a silver platter. You get to Purim already. Purim is more of a degree of Isarusa Dilatata, though most of the action was really being driven by Mordechai and Esther. And then Chanukah even more so. Chanukah was all about Klal Yisrael pushing, those Jews who still had clarity pushing for what was right, and everything flowed from that. So in that sense also, the Adavka and Chanukah, Shekhinah, so to speak, Yorid Lamata Me'asara, the Shekhinah comes down into our territory, into our Rishos, the terrestrial Eretz of the first 10 Tfachim, so to speak, meaning, And again, the Ner Chanukah, the Reb David of Tolna was suggesting, Ner Chanukah, we dafka seek to light it when you're lighting up Pesach Pesa. We dafka seek to light it l'mata me'asara. Not only because practically it's more clear that it's not lighting, but rather lehekera, but part of the messaging, part of the content is also, that's just a question of deixis. That's a question of grabbing people's attention. Oh, it's l'mata me'asara, it must mean something. But it's actually, that's actually part of the message. The being low down, that the nearest could be low down, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved even when we're, so to speak, down here living natural lives, and that we can spark things, and the spark has to come from down here. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to not just sort of passively coast through life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be proactive, to be Zahirim, and to figure out, what do I want, and how am I going to get it? And when I spend the time figuring out what do I want, and I spend the time planning how I'm going to get it, when I'm involved in Zahira, so then, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us an assist once we take the first steps. Like Yaakov Avinu, like the Chashmonam. These are some of the many ideas of Chanukah, and that's why we talk about Chanukah as Yontav Tashva Peh, to wrap back to where we started. Not only historically, and practically, in terms of Svarim, the story of Chanukah doesn't appear in the Tanakh and couldn't appear in Tanakh because the story happened after the end of Nevuah, after in Tanakh. But it's more than that. It's a Tarsha Pedika story. It's a Tarsha Bechsav. Nevuah is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala himself in very obvious ways. Tarsha Peh is when we seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I go to the Beis Medrash. I don't see, unless you don't send a Muzil, the birds aren't incinerating over your heads. Again, the last couple of days, sometimes you might have water dripping on your head in the Beis Medrash. But you don't see Giluyim. Tarsha Peh is a lot of human effort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to us through Tarsha Peh once I work on it. I put in that mail, and I work on it, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala things to me. I get a Siyata Deshmaya once I work on it. Tarsha Peh is, in so many ways, Tarsha Peh captured the essence of Tarsha Peh, not just historically. That's what Tarsha Peh is and how it works. Captures this Hanhaga, the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu relating to us profoundly, even when he's in obvious, and our Hanhaga of knowing that we have to take the first step, we have to work, and it's through our willingness to be proactive and take the first step to dream big and to plan for how we're going to execute those dreams. That's how you're Zoche to then have Siyata Deshmaya that will push us ultimately to be able to accomplish much more than we could have thought possible. See, there's some of the ideas of Hanukkah. You have some of the richness, a little bit of the richness of the machshav of